Where are the brothers?
Where are the brothers?
Oh.
Okay, ladies, go and greet brothers. Just feel free. As they're not coming, you go and greet now. Boss Ma, just say, brother, you're looking good. I love your shirt, you know, your trousers.
Ilori brothers are ashamed. Ilori brothers, you are shy.
Anything you can speak, just speak, even if it's in Yoruba. Be free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay, today is going to be a very unique meeting, so let me prepare your expectations. First of all, we'll go into in-depth teaching. Then from there, we are going to take a break where we'll have games. Then we'll come back for question and answers. I know you want to ask us questions, so there'll be room for that. So whilst the teaching is going on, maybe you have questions from last night's meeting and today, just keep writing, or you have a personal question you want to ask. This is going to be an opportunity for you to ask those questions. Hallelujah. Then after that, we'll spend time to pray for every one of us. Are you ready to receive today? Amen. So let's pray. Father, you are a faithful God. We know your presence is here. You are here to teach us, instruct us, correct us, redirect us, and strategize our lives. Even as your words come forth this morning, we pray, God, that you help us. Every stoning heart is broken now. We come against every form of distraction. Let your presence be awesome in this place. For in Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. You can have your seat. You can have your seat.
Hallelujah. So we're going to be teaching this morning on what has been titled, How to Enjoy Sustainable Marriage Relationships. How to Enjoy Sustainable Marriage Relationships. You see, many of the times people say that, you know, but I chose the right spouse. Why am I having a failed marriage? But I chose the right spouse. Why am I having a failed marriage? Because the truth is, it doesn't end in just choosing. You can choose the right person, but if you don't live with the principles of what is right, you can actually miss it in marriage.
True.
If you choose the right person and you get into relationship with the person, or get into courtship, preparing for marriage, but you do not live by the right principles, your relationship cannot be sustained, even though it's with the right person. So choosing right without living right leads to a failed marriage.
Yeah.
Choosing right without living right. So it doesn't end in choosing right. If you choose right but do not abide by the right wisdom in handling your relationship and handling your marriage, you will still miss it. Have you ever wondered why you meet a good guy, a very nice guy, someone who is wise, but you just realize that all of a sudden the relationship isn't working? Many of the times, it's not about the person, it's about what you're doing.
Yeah.
Many of the times, it's not about the person, it's about your principles. That's the truth. Praise God. So today, I want to teach on how to enjoy sustainable marriage relationships. Because we all require wisdom to sustain what we have. We require wisdom to sustain what we will get.
So,
amen.
So it is possible for God to tell you that this is your wife.
Yes.
And yet you end up not marrying the person.
True. Very well. Very possible.
Amen.
Yes.
So there is more to divine instruction.
Yes.
You know, there are structures that must be put on ground.
True.
I'm currently dealing with a case where the guy told me very clearly that he showed me the proof that God actually spoke. And he said, Pastor, what's the problem? He had gone to meet the lady. And the lady is giving me no. The lady said, I like somebody else. So he now said, is God a liar? Is God a liar? So I told him, God cannot lie. Beyond prophecies, there is more.
True.
Even Apostle Paul was speaking to Timothy. He said, there's a prophecy over your head. He said, war a good warfare.
Yeah, true.
So it's not enough for prophecies to be hanging around you. It's what are you doing with the prophecy.
True.
So words can come as regards a person, But then, there are a lot of things to sustain that relationship or that marriage. And that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah.
Are you ready to get to this now?
Yeah.
I know you're interested because a lot of you have experienced heartbreak. I can see it in your faces. Is this kind of sermon I like? Finally. They want to tell me why I'm having heartbreak all these years. Amen? So how to sustain it? Was there things I was doing wrong that I've not been able to? Because I experienced my first heartbreak in University of Ilorin.
Yes, yeah, so, yeah.
And it was the last.
Yeah.
It was the last. I had to sit down to have a review and ask myself, how can I sustain it? She wasn't a bad girl.
Mm-hmm.
She was a good girl. But I couldn't sustain the relationship.
True.
So how do I sustain a relationship when God says yes?
Mm.
When I was able to put this structure in place, the next guy I met, I married her. I put the structure so much that when I asked her out, it took her 3 days. She said it by herself yesterday. 3 days. She wasn't saying, she wasn't beating around the bush. Bah, 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 bah. And I'm going to teach you my toasting skill today as well, too. Amen. To help the Ilorin brothers. You know, ask that question. Pastor, how did you toast that? It took 3 days. It's a cold. It's a deep. I'm telling you, if I teach you. Anyway, that is for a fee, actually. 50,000 naira to know how to toast. Amen. So let's fly. How to enjoy sustainable marriage relationships. So we needed to put both marriage and relationships there so we can help the married people and also help the singles people. Yeah. Hallelujah. Number one, who is your Mordecai? Who is your Mordecai?
Very beautiful question. Who is your Mordecai? You see, a lot of people, even when they come for counseling, come with made up minds. They don't actually want to listen to counsel anymore.
Yeah.
You see people tell you in church that I know the person for me. Even when pastor is trying to guide them, they don't want to be guided. And listen, there are people who have gone ahead of you. There are people who have more experience, who have more revelation than you. And if you are not guided in life by these persons, you'll be misguided.
Yeah.
That's the truth. If you look at the story of Esther in the Bible, the truth is the deliverance of the people, of her people, of the Jews, as much as it was Esther that was in the front, but most importantly, it was Mordecai that was instructing an Esther.
True.
So if she had not listened to her Mordecai, if she never was guided by Mordecai, imagine, even when there was a contest for queens to get into the palace, to be chosen by King Ahasuerus, read your Bible in Esther chapter 2, verse 20. If not for Mordecai, she would have gone ahead to reveal her identity so fast.
Yeah.
Without knowing that there is a Haman in front that has a plot against the Jews.
Yes.
So thankfully, she had a Mordecai, because you see, having a mentor in the person of your Mordecai is not just enough.
Mm.
Because your mentor can be counseling you, but you are not obeying.
Listening, true.
You are not listening. Because if you read Esther chapter 2 from verse 20, it says, now Esther had not revealed her family and her people, just as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther obeyed the command of Mordecai as when she was brought up by him.
Mm.
Are you seeing it? So you can imagine. I am too sure that even for Esther to have gone to contest amongst the queens, because I mean Esther was an orphan, she was brought up by Mordecai. You know, maybe she thought she wasn't even good enough for such. I'm sure Mordecai was the one that had to influence and say go. Mordecai was always at the entrance of the gate giving instructions to Esther. Now, even when Esther got into the palace, when she finally got married, she did not block off her Mordecai.
Yeah.
Because you see, having a mentor in your singlehood doesn't mean you stop having a mentor in marriage.
Yeah.
Because, like I said earlier, you can choose someone, doesn't mean that you have gotten it right completely. So, why she listened to Mordecai before she entered the palace? Even when she entered, she did not allow the palace to consume her that she forgot her Mordecai.
Yeah.
So even when she was in the palace, thankfully, thank God she understood that she still needs to be guided in marriage. Nobody knows it all in marriage.
That's true.
As long as there is life in you, you are still growing, you are still a student.
Mm.
But when you come with the shoulder, with the mindset of a prof, when you come with the mindset of the experienced one, even if your mentors are mentored by other people.
That's true.
So when you come with the mindset, I am made, when you come with the mindset of I know it all, you will never learn. People who know it all don't have more knowledge.
That's true.
People who know it all never increase in knowledge. In fact, Esther was so mentorable that even while she was under the custody of Haggai, the custodian that was in charge of the queen, the custodian fell in love with Esther. She found favor in the sight of the custodian.
Yeah.
You see, because she was mentorable, she listened to all that the custodian had to say to her, and she found favor. And that was how she was able to gain entrance into the palace. So it's very important that you listen. You must have a mentor in life. You understand? It's very important. You must always have a mentor. And it takes a teachable heart to listen to mentors. If you do not have a teachable heart, you cannot be taught. And this is for every lady here. Never ever stay in a relationship or say yes to a man who is not mentorable.
Yeah.
A man who cannot be led cannot lead you.
Mm.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. So you can't outgrow your Mordecai.
Yeah.
You can't outgrow your Mordecai.
Mm.
The Bible says in that scripture that he listened to the commandment of Mordecai as when she was brought up by him. So when Esther was nothing, she listened to her Mordecai.
Mm.
Now Esther is a queen, she still listened to her Mordecai. You can't outgrow your Mordecai. As big as we are, we still have people that talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
You must be under instructors. We still have people we still cry to say, oh, we are not getting it right. Can you help us?
Mm-hmm.
So it is very important. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of you like private relationships, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The guy comes to tell you and say, or the lady comes to tell you and say, let's make it private, let's not tell anybody and all those stuff. That is very dangerous. I can assure you. You must be talking to somebody. You must be talking to somebody. You can't make a relationship so private and you're not talking to anybody. That is very dangerous for you.
Mm.
It's a sign that you know too much. God himself, because he cannot be on earth here with us, he has to send instructors, pastors, mentors. That's the reason why he sent these people. I know somebody say, but my pastor, if I tell my pastor something... I'm a pastor, so let's talk. Let's be real here. If I tell my pastor something, he comes to the altar and preaches, the whole church will know that I'm in a relationship. Therefore, I've made up my mind that I'm not to tell anybody. Some of you are in that shoe, right? But listen now. That is, your pastor may not be that he should be your mentor when it comes to relationship. Am I talking to somebody? There are a lot of pastors who are not grounded in relationship matters. It's not their call. Of course, you know, there are pastors who struggle in their marriage. I'm telling you, there are pastors who struggle in their marriage. They don't have it right. Or there are pastors who are even divorced and all those stuff. So that is, your pastor does not necessarily mean that he should be your mentor. When myself and my wife were courting, our pastor wasn't our mentor. We love him so much. Partnering our relationship. We love him so much. We respect him so much. I mean, but in our church, there was this couple. Oh, God. You just know, even our pastor, we send people to meet that man. Our pastor, we would send to say, these people, they are an authority in this thing. So it's not because we hated our pastor and all those stuff. You know, I'm trying to help you because a lot of people, when you hear mentorship, the first thing you see is my pastor. And when you want to go to your pastor, you say, I can't access my pastor. You know, it takes protocol to meet my pastor. My pastor doesn't pick his call. You know, there are a lot of structures around men of God. But you see, there are other people, there are families, there are relationship counselors around you that you can always assess and talk to. Have I helped you there now? You know, so it's very important that you study that so that you get a mentor or a counselor.
True.
So, let me go further on that as well too. So any relationship that is private, after this explanation that I've said, is very dangerous.
It needs to be private, yeah.
Because you need somebody to be talking to you. Nobody knows it all. Even a private part has somebody that will see it. As private as my private part is,
Somebody sees it. Amen. So is he even private? Because somebody is seeing it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So no matter how private your relationship, you must get somebody that sees it. Many years ago in church, there was this very beautiful lady. I mean, very beautiful. She's an usher. You know, she's among the greeters. Ah, you're welcome to church. You know. So, while she was there, a guy came to join church, and the guy happened to be one of the ministers in church. You know. The guy just joined church, but because the guy was very fluent, he speaks Christianese. You know Christianese? Oh, thou sister Maka, how are thou? The Lord is good over you. While I go through the thousand of sea, thou sitteth by my side, and your life is like a honeycomb. So the guy was speaking Christianese, so all of us fell, including pastors. So they now made him a minister in church. We didn't know that. So this Christianese guy, he would start eyeing usher. So he went to go and block usher and told usher that he should start a relationship. That, you see, I like my relationship private. Anytime I come to church, I don't want people to talk about me. I don't want people to know anything about me. So let's make it private. The girl believed and made it private. She didn't tell pastor. She didn't tell anybody. The only thing we noticed was that we just come to church almost together and all those. So we wondered, what was that? No, nothing. The way people do it. We know all of you here. Nothing. Both of you like yourself. He's just like a brother to me. Okay.
Like a sister.
Months has passed. All of a sudden, we're not seeing this girl in church again. So we had to go and evangelize the girl, and she was crying. What happened? She said, the Christianese brother, she had even committed abortion for the Christianese brother. This Christianese brother finished her account. The Christianese brother messed her up. Now the Christianese brother has abandoned her. She doesn't know where to start from again. Pastor said, why didn't you tell me? Even us in church, we got to know that this guy is a scam.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we got to know. But of course, we can't come to the altar to... Pastors can't drive church members.
I'm telling you.
If a pastor see a thief now in his church, have you seen a church where they say, no thief should enter? I'm telling you. So, that you met him in church doesn't mean that it's right for you.
True.
There are a lot of thieves, criminals. There are people who come. They come to pray. So they will strategically join choir. They'll say, oh, and you will fall. You say, I see angel. You say, the that your emotion you have seen. Pastor said, you met the... He said, well, pastor, this brother is always around you. Why? That the person is always around the pastor doesn't mean that he's right for you too.
Yeah, because proximity does not equate suitability.
Proximity does not equate suitability. Judas was always around Jesus.
Yeah.
Always around Jesus. Was Jesus aware that he was a thief? Yes! Should Jesus drive him? No. We don't drive people in church, but we know everybody in church. So you must ask the right question. Some of you just keep quiet. He tells you, make it private. It's private. We're not going to tell anybody. You are making a big mistake. There must be somebody you are talking to. So she said, oh God, pastor, what should I do? Pastor said, what we got to know about this guy was that the church he came for impregnated a girl. The church before that one impregnated another girl. As we are talking, he has three different children from three different girls. And he came to this church again to do the same thing. You must be careful.
You must, yeah.
Are you listening to me? So, you must open up. There are people that are around you, they are wiser than you think. And certainly their words can be so painful. Mentors' words can be so painful. They tell you straight, they don't smile. It's not the one for you. You know that kind of thing like so painful after you are falling in love. Because you don't want to hear no, you will not go and tell a mentor again.
Amen. I need to see this is scriptural. Hebrews 13 verse 17, message transition. It says, be responsive to your pastoral leaders. Listen to their counsel. They are alert to the condition of your life and walk under the strict supervision of God. Contribute to the joy of their leadership, not his drudgery. Why would you want to make things harder for them? So you see that the first line is be responsive. So it's not necessarily listening. Mentorship, submitting to a mentor is made up of two parts, listening and you responding.
Yeah.
So if you listen and you don't respond, responding means obey. Like we saw in the book of Esther, she was obedient to Mordecai. So if you only listen without responding, you have missed it there. Do you understand? Your mentor knows, your leaders know a lot about the people, especially in a church setting or a fellowship like this. Most of the time, Pastor James knows some persons that are here, and you don't even have an idea. Your pastor.
Even in the city.
Even in the city. Yes. I mean, and you don't know. So you're just like, after all, what's the big deal? You know, another kind of thing. You must be open to guidance. This is very, and let me tell you something. Don't say, I'm reading books. I've read books by Maiz Muro.
Yes. Maiz Muro is my mentor.
Maiz Muro is my mentor.
How can Maiz Muro be your mentor?
Can he talk to you? Do you understand? So when we're talking about mentorship, while you can be mentored through books, most importantly, you have a physical mentor.
That you can ask questions.
It's very important.
That you can onboard into.
Yes. And number two, don't say, because I am older than the person, I can't listen to the person.
Yes.
That's also an error, because some of you may ask, like, oh, what if the person is older than me? Mm. You know, can the person be my mentor? Yes. Age is not equivalent to wisdom.
Yeah.
So you can be old, doesn't mean you are wise.
Yeah.
So it's not number, doesn't mean wisdom.
Yeah.
So you must have that understanding to know that somebody can be younger than you but have a better revelation.
Mm.
It's very important, because wisdom comes from fearing God. So you don't even have reverence for God. How much more draw have a wisdom bank? So you need somebody that you can draw from. It's very important. At every phase of our life, we have mentors that we listen to. You understand? Does the person have to be rich? Now, you see the case of Mordecai. So affluence doesn't mean wisdom. You understand? Yeah. Poverty doesn't mean lack of wisdom. Somebody can be poor but not wise. Somebody can also be poor and be wise. If you see, read the book of Ecclesiastes,
yeah.
You will see the story of there was a poor wise man.
Yeah.
So he was poor but he was wise.
Yeah.
So affluence does not have anything to do with wisdom.
True.
Somebody can have affluence, doesn't mean person is wise.
Yeah.
Do you understand? So it's very important that you have an understanding of these things so that you do not see someone you can draw from but disregard the person. Because if you see the person is at the gate, what does this person know? A cleaner can advise you.
That's true.
Don't be so high up there and miss it. Look at the story of Esther. He was a hair guy, a custodian. I'm sure the person had not even drank with royal cup. But he was able to tell Esther the direction of how to meet King Ahasuerus.
That's true.
There are people you can draw from that can make you recommendable to kings.
That's true.
There are people you can draw from that can make you recommendable to queens. So don't box yourself and say, no, I have it all. No. You must have a Mordecai that you are drawing from constantly in every area of your life. Amen.
So many years ago, there was this, my daughter, she came to meet me and she said she wanted to get married. And she's so anointed woman of God, such that one day on our campus, whilst they were worshipping God, she was leading people in worship, they practically saw the Shekinah glory. This is not smoke machine. You know, I mean, they saw she was that anointed, you know, doing great things for God. You know, so she came to meet me and she told me that she wanted to get married. You know, a lot of you are so anointed. You are so anointed. But the challenge you have is your inability to discern the man that will take you to your place. That's why you need counselors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you. So she came to meet me and she said she wanted to get married. So when she came and she told me about the guy, I descended straight in my spirit. I didn't have to see the guy. I said, that guy is not for you. I knew I was talking from the spirit. She looked at me and she laughed. She laughed. Ah, Pastor, what are you saying now? She said, myself and my mom went to go and see a prophet. So when we went to go and see that prophet, Before we entered into the prophet's office, he said, why we entered the prophet's office? The prophet mentioned the name of this man and opened his book, his Bible, and said, look at this name. Am I right? The lady said, yes, 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 prophet, prophet, prophet. Do I know you before? Yes, I know you. Have I seen you before? Hey, celebrate grace. You know how you people like celebrate grace. She said, pastor, a prophet saw it. I say, my dear, I know you want to underrate me now, but I have told you. Anyway, if a prophet told you, no problem. She got up, she was angry. Pastor doesn't have to support my relationship. And she left. My dear brothers and sisters, she secretly went ahead to get married to the guy. They did court marriage. They were waiting for church marriage. Secretly did court marriage. Because the guy told them and the mother said, let us just do court marriage on code, you know, just a small court marriage. Nobody guiding them. They believed the guy went to go and do court marriage. After they did court marriage, they started calling this brother. This brother wasn't picking call again. Finally, in a peak call after 2 weeks, this brother was already in Dubai on his way to Canada.
Yeah.
And was apologizing to the guy. I'm so sorry. I was under pressure to get papers. They said this visa that I must run to enter Canada, they said I must be married. So I needed you to just help me. So that was why we fell in love. And now, I'm so sorry. True story, in Benin.
True story.
I told the girl, I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm sorry I said it. Do you know I'm sorry can be so painful? After you've wasted your life with somebody, I said, I'm sorry. I said, after I slept with you, I'm sorry now. Can I'm sorry bring back everything? I'm sorry now. I'm sorry I said it. I'm sorry I said it. And I was like, the guy went. Who is talking to you? Who is talking to you?
Wow. You can imagine. You see deep life experiences. See deep
number life experiences. Two. So the first one we said is what?
Who's your Mordecai?
Okay, our topic first of all is how to enjoy sustainable marriage relationships. So the first one we said is, who is your Mordecai?
Number two, what is your preparation?
What is your preparation?
What is your preparation? You know, the thing is, many people want to get married, but they are not willing to get prepared for it. There's a preparation for marriage. There's a preparation. If you check through, you know, there's a popular quote that says, poor preparation brings poor performance.
Yeah.
So if you don't prepare well, how well you prepare will tell how well you will act or you will live in marriage. So preparation is very important. Your physical appearance, your character. Don't say that you have developed yourself enough. Some person go as far as say, well, somebody's going to meet me for who I am. They're aware. You understand? It's not about who you are. Your friends around you have been complaining about certain character. While you will not be perfect, or the right person will not be perfect, but there are things that are workable.
That's true.
There are things that you must be intentional about. There's something called self-upgrade, self-development. Yeah. You must be intentional about developing yourself. Those things that you have heard of, those things you have evaluated on yourself, you're taking a retrospective on yourself, or you have then done self-evaluation, and you have seen that there are attitudes about you that even you cannot marry you.
Yeah.
You need to consciously work on it. Your mom has told you that your hygiene is poor, or your friends. You need to work on it if you go with it into marriage, it's going to cause issues. While you are not going to be perfect, but can you be a work in progress?
That's true.
Can you not just speak? Can you be working on yourself while you are waiting for the person? Can you also be working yourself in marriage? Because you see, many times, even in marriage, because this thing we're talking about is not just for singles. You can get married and think it's the other person that should be working on themselves, and you are not working. It's your spouse, you're pointing fingers. The same thing also in singlehood. Some of you are just waiting for the right person without working on being right.
Yeah.
So it's very bad that you are physically prepared for marriage. First of all, what is your appearance like? How do you dress? These are things you feel that doesn't matter. Oh no. It's very important that you are attractive for yourself first and for the next person.
Mm.
Because when you're not attractive for yourself, you cannot command attraction.
Yeah.
So it is first for yourself. When you are attracted to yourself, you have, there's something it does for you. There's a courage. There's something. There's a way you carry yourself. So you must first be attracted. How do you dress? For brothers, yeah, I know sometimes we can be so spiritual. I don't mean, you know, sometimes some of you don't even know the definition of being spiritual. Because spirituality is classy. Holiness is beautiful. So how do you dress? Are you someone that combine check and check? You know, how do you, color riot. How do you look? Have you been trying to ask sisters out and they are not responding? Could it just be that it's not your village people? Something is just wrong with you. No, is it true? Because sometimes we blame the devil and the devil is sleeping.
Yeah.
Doesn't even know your name. So, could it just be that there's a way you look? See, I met my husband. My husband didn't have money when I met him. He was very broke. You know, when Pastor was talking about how he was trekking, my husband was a classy trekker. You understand? But you see, when we were friends, you know, there's a way he walks. There's... You know, there's a way he carries himself. You know, even when we got into a relationship, when he was asking out, even though he was stretching the slipper was begging for him. You know, that I remember that day he saw me up to the bus park. You know, even the slippers was like, God, help me here. Slippers was crying, but even at that, he was presentable in his speech. He was presentable in his look. You know, what he was wearing was not, the class was very, there was no class. But there's, sometimes it's not what you wear, it's who you are.
Yeah.
There's a way you wear third-hand grade of cloth, eh? But there's a way you carry it, even with the cloth that you're wearing. Do you understand? So that was the person of my husband. There's a way he still looks, his presentability, do you understand? When he's, you know, talking to me. So your presentation is important.
Yeah.
It's very important. If you look at the story of Esther chapter 2 verse 9, it says, now the young woman pleased him and she obtained his favor. So he readily gave beauty preparations for her besides her allowance. And if you go to verse 12, it says, every young woman's son came in to go into King Ahasuerus after she had completed 12 months of preparation. All 1 year, 12 months. They were already in a place of custody. Before they be going to meet the king, they will have to look good. Beauty preparation for 12 months. 1 good year. So you see from scripture that looking good is very important. How do you talk in public? I tell the ladies around me, I say, listen, you cannot tell where royalty is.
That's true.
A royal person can be somewhere and you don't know, because you see, sometimes, you know, and sometimes some people don't look the way their pocket is or how they, you know, how they are, where they're coming from.
Yeah.
And then you begin to disregard. You just forget, who is this person? And you have missed it. Because you see, the person you meet might not be the person you marry, but that person you meet might recommend you to somebody else.
That's true.
I have a friend that, you know, that it was somebody that told somebody else about her. He wasn't the person she met in her office that she married. The person was single, but the person liked her for his friend, and he kind of, you know, started exchange their contacts and all of that, and they started becoming friends. And from there, today they are married. So you must be very careful. Who are you talking to? How are you talking to the person? Even if you don't like the person that, you know, that you don't want to go out with, how do you talk? Some of you, when you receive calls, you are so poor in receiving calls.
Who be this?
The person is like, hello, I better talk to you, I better talk to your name, I beg. What if they worry you? So these are the things. You need to check yourself. How do I, if I'm praying for something, do I look like my prayer point?
Yeah.
You need to ask yourself that. Do I look like the prayer point? Do I look like the prayer point when I'm praying? So it's very, very important, because it's not just about you praying, how you are positioning yourself for the answer to the prayer.
Yeah.
So how are you doing it? How are you preparing for the person that you want to meet, or the person you have met?
So part of hygiene that we really need to check is the fact that many a times, even if you brush in the morning before leaving the house, there's still tendencies that you can still have
mentors. Mouth odor.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, tendencies. Especially those of you that fast a lot. You don't, So the trick is this. Once in a while, take mentor. Because you may be talking to the girl and she's not responsive. Anytime everybody are talking to her, she's happy. But the moment you come, she's sad. You don't know. It may be what you are giving her. You know, you are just giving. And you talk, Jesus. I get it. Fast. Amen. So before you see a queen or queen, before you see a king, make sure that in your pocket you have a mentor, you know. Or if you don't have, you know, before you have a conversation, try to do something like this. You know, that's when you breathe like this, you breathe to your palm sends back to your nose. There's a feedback as to
whether you are okay or not.
What to expect, amen? So when you get that feedback, go and quickly get a mentor so that when you are talking ahead, you are giving it fresh breath. It's very as simple as this. People have missed their life partner. You know, I told you that when I was in school, there's this lady I fell in love with, you know. And we agreed that we're going to get married. My voice has changed. I'm not sad. Amen. We agreed that we're going to get married, you know. But then she will be complaining, say, I love you, Is. But there's one thing I can't explain. When the lady say I can't explain, they don't know how to tell you, but they are seeing it. I will talk. I will carry books. I will coach and everything. But let me tell you what. It was hygiene. I was a man of God on campus. Man of God. I felt my anointing was okay. Why will you not love me for my anointing? Oh God. I will go for prayers when I come back with my smelling body. Let's talk. I wasn't presentable. I'm telling you. And the only thing I could give her was scriptures. That's the only thing I know, Bible. Have you read the book of Esther from the beginning to the end? That's my comfort. She was bored.
I'm telling you.
She needs to hear other things. Guys, are you hearing? She needs to hear every other thing. Some of you, how are you doing? Fine. Have you eaten? Fine. Are you sleeping? No. Okay, I'll call you tomorrow.
No, yeah.
Tomorrow will come again. How are you? Fine. Have you eaten? No. Have you slept? No. Then both of you now be silent for a while. That's it. Okay, I'll call you tomorrow. You are not ready. They are laughing because they know all these things. You are not ready. Go and build your communication skill. I'm telling you. Anointing. See, God will come with angels. He will say, that's your wife. There is more. He does it something. So you just go, God said, I should marry you. Now so? Then the girl on the upper just say, yes. Who you be? You know that no, there is one to it. God gave everybody will. Are you listening to me? So she has a choice, so choose. So God can tell you, but God has given everybody free will. It's very much that she must marry you. So if you are not present, that's how I lost the girl. There was this guy, when this guy wants to come and see this guy will bath, he will spray pet, he will call. When he enters my ex room, don't be laughing. Me, I'll be pastor. I say, hey God, what's making this girl laugh? The girl will be laughing, happy. They will spend hours. Then when the guy goes, she'll be so happy to escort the guy. The guy was presentable. Me, the moment I enter the guest room, she's sad. She's sad. I will go and be praying to God. God, change her heart. God, change her heart. Touch her heart. The heart of a king and your ass. You turn it into whatever you will. You see, foolish prayer. I was laboring even. Until she broke up with me. She broke up. I didn't blame her.
I started asking myself questions. What was wrong with me? And I took viral and paper. I started writing. Hygiene, zero. Communication skills, zero. Manners, zero. When I saw these things, I said, I'm going to work on it. The next girl I approach, I said, no girl, how can I be spiritual? Then also, I am very physical. And a girl will give me a no, it's not possible.
Use me to react.
So I started working on it. I wasn't exposed. The only thing I knew was scripture, church. So I started learning other things. Started learning politics. I tried to be vast. I started staying around people that can sharpen you. Some of you don't like friends that are intelligent. When they have an intelligent conversation, I beg you, they talk too much, you leave. It's not my thing. There is nothing that is your thing. Sports is not your thing. Fashion is not your thing. Beauty is not your thing. Movie is not your thing. Nothing is your thing. You must have a thing. Are you listening to me? Because somebody should be able to communicate with you.
Yeah.
See, when I now met my wife, if you ask her, one of the things she loves me for was that I was vast.
Yeah, true.
I became so vast.
I mean, Kai, he was
Oh,
vast.
God. Yeah. I didn't have money, but I had something I was putting on the table.
Yeah. True.
I became so vast. It took me 7 years of preparation to come and meet her.
Yeah, true.
I'm telling you, some of you don't need another relationship. You need preparation. You are changing relationship like every month, like it's menstrual cycle. Eh? You are just changing every month. People know you. It's Brother Kule again. Well done. They know you are changing. Well, it's not to be changing. It's to say something must be wrong with you. Then you sit down, you begin to review yourself. It took me 7 years for me to ask the next girl out. And
true.
That girl was my wife.
True. Hallelujah.
Don't rush. Put yourself under pure tutorial. I started learning. I became so vast. I started working on my dressing, my color blends, my smell, my presentation. Are you listening to me? You need to do all that. I started changing my associations. I started moving people that are wise, people that are intelligent. So when they are talking, I can talk smart. You must talk like the place you want to go to. I'm talking to you. Am I talking to somebody? You must start speaking English. I know it's good to speak your dialect and all those stuff, but still try. You don't know who God is sending to you.
I'm telling you.
Who he sent to you.
Yes.
He may just send you and say, your destiny is in Canada, 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 Canada. Yeah. And anytime you just carry phone, it's Ekaro, Bawane, Chowakwadadine, Chowak, okay. No, it's not that. Learn English.
True.
I'm not saying it should be not for now. Because some of you go and do phoné and phoné is not English, yo. You go and use your Yoruba intonation to go and be speaking phoné. No. Phoné is not English. I say learn good English, not phoné. Not phoné.
Like when it is, don't say was.
Yes.
That kind of thing. I wanna saw you.
That's phoné that is bad English. I wanna saw you. Where shall you be tonight? No, not speak good English. That's what I'm saying. Don't phone it. Amen.
Andy, when you be talking to the lady, she's having a headache. Because she can't comprehend. I don't understand. You are saying, you're trying to talk to her, I say he. She's like,
and she's a she. Amen. You understand? Get brighter grammar.
Brighter grammar, yeah.
She understands. You can go as that. See, don't say I have to learn it.
Yeah,
even
so,
in my relationship, my wife started teaching me English. My English was bad. I'm telling you. I mean, I did ghost the English.
when I go to see him, when he's ministering, I used to write. When he shows without powers, and I said, my brother.
They ghost the English. But you must not say that's who I am. If I say that's who I am, I'm not letting to listen to her.
Yeah.
She'll leave me.
And people will be laughing at him outside. Because who is closest to you that can tell you your mouth is smelly?
Yes. your partner will be ready to stand by you if you are teachable.
Yeah, true.
But if you are not teachable, forget. Hate me. You can't carry me. And yet you are embarrassing your spouse outside.
Mm.
For me not to be embarrassed, that's why she was still with me. I started learning.
True.
She started teaching me. Brother, they say, sweet, it's not ish, it's worse. I say, okay, worse, next time. It's not this, it's that. She'll be teaching me. I was learning. Tell your neighbor, you must be teachable.
Yeah, and even in marriage too, the same thing. You know, when you get married to someone, do not allow, while the marriage is increasing, make sure you're increasing in knowledge.
That's true.
Don't allow the person meet you at the level the person married you.
Yes.
Yeah, it means because self-upgrading is attractive.
That's true.
It's not just about what you are wearing. If your spouse, you know, got married to you 5 years ago, and in the fifth year, you are still the same kind of person, you are still in a level, the person will not be able to strike conversation with you.
Yeah.
And it's in conversation, intellectual conversation, that builds companionship. And that's what brings compatibility. That's why it's important that you must have content, something here. And the way you can increase in content is by learning, by constantly upgrading.
Yeah.
I remember when we got married, my husband kept on telling me, see, I don't want to marry just one angry leader is in the kitchen. I want to marry a woman who is out there. He was telling me, that's not the kind of person he wants to marry. He wants to marry somebody who is beyond, just beyond the four walls of a kitchen, beyond someone who's just bearing Mrs. Anne Lee, just a change in status. He wants someone who is increasing in level. He takes a purpose-driven man to say such.
Yeah.
So if I was just that kind of person, he would not find me attractive, because attraction is constantly, should be constantly growing.
Yeah.
It's very important. So don't say, I've married, that's it, you are just there. You're not doing anything with yourself. You're not developing yourself. Before you know it, there'll be issues. You start having cracks in attraction. Because just like the husband should be attractive to the wife must be attractive to her husband. It's a two-way thing. Do you understand? That's why even in marriage, my husband kept on asking. Sometimes when he finished teaching, even to date, he still gets to ask. He gets to review. The same thing, you want to post, you want to create content. We get to check each other's English. It's very important. Don't say, I'm the man. I'm the man. What do you have to offer to me?
Mm.
Your ego will kill you. I mean, we don't know when you are dying, but yes,
I'm
you are alive.
You know,
you can be alive and you are dead at the same time. So it's very important that you are growing. Nobody wants to meet one who is not growing.
That's true.
Nobody wants to meet anyone who is not growing. So you must be prepared. You must always be upgrading. Seek for self-upgrade.
And also, stop sharing your problems. Share testimonies.
True.
Some of you have problems.
It's true. So people
they call you. Your guy calls you. How you do? I'm depressed. You are always depressed. And you're wondering why people are running from you. Don't have a good day. On your status, you see, you just put weeping symbol.
Every
on your status.
Time.
So that people will be chatting, what's happening, what's happening? I'm just depressed. Nobody wants to marry a problem. Am I talking to somebody? Nobody. You are always depressed. I'm sad today. Today is my sad day. You have an anniversary for sadness.
Hashtag sad day.
Amen. Those attitudes must stop. Stop. You must stop. Your son is just blood. Who died? Nobody died. You are the one that died. Amen. So those attitudes must stop. People are tired of hearing problems. When they now come to you, they share testimonies. All of us have problems.
Yes.
It's only that problem. So stop fronting your problem. Stop fronting your problem. If I usually tell my church, sometimes I come to church and they are not smiling. I say, my brother, all of us have problems. You guys have to smile. Because if we decide to be analyzing our problem, you have my problems more than your problem. Why are you not smiling? Praise the name of the Lord. You don't even have problems. Just put the problem everywhere. People know that you have problems. And it's supposed to be weeping. So that, no, you will lose your partner when you always push problems.
I'm telling you. It's like, imagine you meeting somebody the first time. You're already telling your life problems.
My family is this.
Your family
my dad
is this.
Is that.
And then you expect the person to pick your call the next
was,
day.
Last week, Keke jammed my father 3 weeks ago. Even my brother dodged Keke. That is what you are talking. I don't even know how to now pay my school fees. Ilori has driven me. I wrote IGMB. I don't even know if I will pass. Then you are saying they are not picking your call. Who will pick that call? Who will pick that call? Leave your problem. All of us have problems. Keep your problem in one corner. Share good news. How are you doing? I'm blessed. I'm radiating.
You think all of us have problems? You want me to say my problem?
You just feel like you are the masters of problem. No. Share yourself. Be smiling. Be good. Have life. Amen. On your status, people should see that they should be seeing light. People want to associate with light, not darkness.
True.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So we said what? Be vast. Prepare. You do not know tomorrow. The Bible says something concerning the palace. He said it is a man's gift that brings him before kings.
Kings, yeah.
But the Bible did not say how long he will stay with the kings.
Hmm.
So the tendencies for God to bring you to your testimony. It takes character for you to remain there.
True.
So I'm hammering this thing well because a lot of you like God told me. And you are wondering why. Some of you even think God is a liar. Some of you even think that you don't hear God well. You can hear God well and still miss it.
True.
It's a man's gift that brings it before kings. The Bible did not say how long you will stay with the kings. You will determine how long will you not stay there. And it's your character.
So revelation without character does not sustain relevance.
Equip yourself.
I know you like.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, my battery is out. Amen.
I know you like Yoruba magic, but once in a while, still watch CNN because of where you are going to. You are going far. You are a global citizen. Am I talking to you? I know you like Yoruba magic from morning to night. You just be watching. You are a global citizen. Start thinking globally. I used to tell my wife then, when we're nothing. Sweet, stop preparing. You are going global. She said, you're just like Bini things. I said, let's stop liking Bini things. We're going global. We don't know where God is taking us to. So this, she doesn't even watch movies. Save me, I don't watch movies. But when my siblings come, they want to watch movies or these local movies. I say, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't watch CNN in this house. Even if I have issue with bad English, you are still allowing me to watch African Magic on top. How will I be spoken outside? Amen. So, you want to complicate my life? God has told me I will go for it. I need to start preparing. Start putting on. Start watching CNN. Start watching American movies that we challenge you. Some of you, why don't you watch American movies? I don't even know what they are saying. I am saying it with so much pride. I don't know what they are saying. My brother, start knowing what they say. If they don't subtitle it, you will not watch. Start knowing what they will say. Oh, am I talking to you? Start preparing for your future. You may marry an American man. You know what I say? I don't know what you say. You must start calling you.
You'll be laughing. You'll
be smiling. That's where you're from. I use first credit for my own tweet. You don't say anything? It is well. The only thing you'll be saying, it is well. It is well. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I understand. It is well. Improve yourself, I'm hammering this thing. Anointing is not enough.
Yeah, true.
We're praying for breakthrough. God opened the door. Last year, we went to go shoot an American movie in U.S., in America. And in that movie, my wife was the only African, the only Nigerian in the movie. It's a full movie. It's on Amazon Prime. You know, and the visa was from me. So I went to this black American church. And after I finished talking to the pastor, and I said, we could do movies together. He said, really? I said, okay. So I said, let's run the deal. So I started talking. They said, I should give them a story to see if they will approve it. Imagine a Nigerian writing story for black Americans. They said, also, do you have a story? I told them, yes. One of the things I learned while I was doing this ministry was that usually do not say no. You see, I talked about don't be negative.
Stop pushing your problems or your challenges. Because if I tell her, no, you see, I should have called Nigeria, then this is an opportunity of a lifetime. Can you give us a script? I say yes. Can I get it in an hour time? I said yes, you'll get it. He said, okay, no problem. We're waiting for you. I went into the room. I started speaking in tongues. That's how I get scripts. Those are scripts that you watch. So I went to the room. I started praying the Holy Ghost. Not under pressure. Started praying the Holy Ghost. I got it. I took my phone and I typed the script and everything. I sent it by mail to the man. He sent it to their scriptwriter in their ministry. The woman looked at it and corrected two English that were wrong. I said, fantastic script. Amen. So we shot that project in the U.S. The mayor came to watch it. It was on their newspaper in their state. Then after that, they said, can we do a full movie? So then, the next year, which was last year, we did a full movie for them. And the movie was on Amazon Prime. And this year again, they said, you guys are coming back to do another movie. Amen. Listen, my point is preparation. When God brings you to your palace, what do you have to offer? I'm telling you, what do you have to offer? So many of the times when we travel to nations of the world, we practically don't pay our flight ticket because we are valuable. You get?
Yeah.
It's value. You are paying for value. So how valuable are you? You build your price tag so that people are willing to pay for it. Praise the name of the Lord. So imagine if I stayed at that local level in Benin and I'm doing Benin things. Benin things. So that I'll be accepted by the community. I will not be here today. But I began to expand myself, fight myself, change my association, change what I watch, change what I listen to and everything. Because I was thinking global, where I'm going to. May God help us in Jesus'
Amen.
Name.
Amen. So it doesn't end in how you look. It's what you carry. Because, you know, sometimes some people say, but I don't look good enough for the person. How do you know? I don't have hips. I don't have bum bum. I don't have big boobs. My mouth is bent one kind. Maybe God would have. I remember when I was growing up, I was like, I'm too straight. I would be praying and say, God, if I only I would just wake up and have hips. I have to accept myself because it's not about how you look. It's about what you carry.
That's true.
You heard the testimony my husband was sharing. It's not about how you look. So you may not, people might dislike you and say, there's somebody that likes you for how you look, but beyond how you look, what you are carrying.
Your confidence
is sexy.
Yes.
Content is sexy. It's not how you look that matters. My husband, when he wanted to meet, when he was looking for someone, I think we've shared it many times, you know, I didn't have what he was looking for. I didn't have front and back. I wasn't struggling to have one.
Yes.
I didn't think of surgery or going to do anything. I was valuable. Your value is beyond how you look.
Yeah.
People are looking for value. You to look like one. Carry yourself like one. I wasn't trying to when he was even sharing that, I didn't even know that was giving. I said my men are like, wow. And even in my church then with my straight look. It's even now that I've had a very tiny human being before. Very tiny, I'm telling you, also tiny. You know, my mother-in-law was saying which day that, we need to go and pay my bride price again, you know. So I've really, really added. Do you understand? So you can, yes, now I can imagine, really, really added. I was so slim. So imagine my husband really looking for front and back, which through my definition, what I'm saying. So it's not how you look, it's what you carry.
Up there.
Look, carry something. Develop yourself. So that when that man meets you, he's not looking at your look alone. He's like, wow, this person has it. This person has it. Praise God. Number three.
So we are talking on how to enjoy sustainable married relationships. Number one, we said, who is your Mordecai? Number two, we said, what is your preparation? Then number three, who is your association?
You see, the cycle of your friends will influence your decision.
True.
So it's very important. Who are you talking with? Who are you talking with on a daily basis? Who is close to you? If you look at the story in 2 Samuel 13, verse 3. Second Samuel 13, but I really would like us to read, to look at it.
But Ammon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother. Now Jonadab was a very crafty man. That was the friend of Ammon. And what was Ammon's problem? Ammon wanted to sleep with his stepsister.
Tamar.
He wanted to sleep with his stepsister. He was already having crazy feeling for the stepsister. He just needed to talk to somebody. And he went to confide in his friend, Jonadab. And the Bible says Jonadab was very crafty and told him that, it's very possible that you see, sleep with him. Sleep with your stepsister. What's the problem there? The point is, who is advising you? Who is talking to you? Guess what? He eventually slept with the stepsister and he hated the stepsister.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Tamar's brother heard about it. The Bible says that Tamar's brother kept quiet and was planning his own plan. After months, a year or 2 years after,
yes,
he finally now killed
Ammon.
When he killed Ammon, guess who came to report the news to David? Jonadab. The same person that encouraged him. Now he has died out of that sin. The same man that went to say, go and do it, or the same man that was announcing it everywhere. He's dead now. Those people that are advising you to go to the wrong lane, they are waiting so that you fall, so that they'll be the one to announce your news. And when they announce it, they'll say, we advised him, oh. Who are you listening to? Your friend says, me? Not many guests, I don't conquer. I don't sleep with like five girls. Please don't sleep with. They are waiting for you so that you go and sleep with one. Just one. Then when you have done that, they will not be the one that will announce your news everywhere to embarrass you. Who are your friends?
Who are your friends?
Who is influencing you? Who is talking to you? What scripture say in
1
Corinthians chapter 15 verse 13? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 33, sorry. It said, do not be deceived. Evil communication corrupts good habits. If you like, deceive yourself. I had a friend that time in school, University of Lorraine. That time, like, all my friends are cultists. I cannot be a cultist. I say, my brother, not too long give you a cultist. He said, for what? For what? It's in the mind. I say, my brother, it's association or join. Say, no, it's in the mind. It's my mind. I say, okay. One day, cultists, they now gathered an organized party at Adewale Estate. So they now invited all of them that are friends. I said, come, what a party. All of them, 300 people gathered. After they partied in midnight, when nobody could leave, they now pushed all of them inside the bush. And they initiated all of them. Including this, my friend. They initiated it. That's how the guy became a cultist till he left the school. He was a smoker. He just lost. He graduated with a pass. It's just a little while. You will be like your companion. Am I talking to somebody? So, all my friends are bad. I'm the only one that is good. We tell you, still be bad. You will still be bad.
Mm-hmm.
Your companion, your friends, they have the capacity to influence you. So, you must change your association.
Yeah, your association matters a lot. And a lot of persons, if you look at scripture again, it says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So you can have good habits, but it can be corrupted. Do you understand? So it's very important to guide who you are listening to. Who you are constantly listening to is who you become. That's the truth. Who you are constantly listening to, who you become. You know, what a man watches, what a man hears, influences him.
True.
He becomes what he watches, what he hears. Those things influence how the person speaks. And before you know it, guides also your decision in life. So it's very important. I mean, even before when I was going to go out, my husband started a relationship with him, I have to talk to my friends. You understand? So if they were bad people, I would have missed out on him.
That's true.
You understand? I've been privileged to counsel a number of persons. And there was one of my very close girls then. You know, she slept with a guy because her friends said everybody's doing it. What's the big deal? I beg, you are behaving like a mogul. In this generation, what's the big deal if you sleep with him? And she slept with the guy, and after some days, the guy broke her heart, quit the relationship. But because the girl was doing it, she wanted her friends to do it. So what values do you want? Because it's the values, the lifestyle you want to live that will determine who you want to constantly be around with.
Yeah.
Do you understand? So it's very important. Mama has already talked about the story of Ammon and his brother. So your association is very powerful in influencing your decisions in all areas of your life, whether relationship, business, ministry. Who you are talking to is very important. You don't have to have many friends, but have few valuable friends. Have friends who are serving the same person. Have friends that all of you are drawing from the same source, which is God. So if, for example, you are only worshiping God and your friends are not like that, it would not take time. You would end up derailing from your source. So it's very important that you guide your association. Choose wisely who you should be friends with. Amen.
Amen. Acts of service.
Acts of service.
Number four. And I think the last on this point. Acts of service. You know, I like this topic. This one now, because I'm currently dealing on a case on this acts of service. Currently. This guy is in church. Doesn't come to church regularly. I used to tell him, come to church regularly. He will not come. He'll be giving an excuse. He'll be playing. Now, God now told him that he should go and marry a firebrand sister in the church. So he went to go and meet the girl, and the girl is not looking at his face, and he's crying. The guy is good. He's a good guy. But the reason why this girl can't marry this guy is that the lady has not seen faithfulness in his service to God.
Yeah.
To us, when I was bringing up this matter to the guy, that he said, you see, Pastor, by the time I marry her, she'll be the one that will encourage me to serve God. I'm saying for a lot of you who do not understand the art of service, that when God wants to bless a man, he sends your Eve in your garden. What are you doing in your garden? Are you sleeping or are you walking in your garden? I'm telling you, are you lazy when it comes to the things of God, or are you a servant?
Mm-hmm. True. Like if you read through Ruth, let's look at Ruth chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. I'll just rush and read. Ruth chapter 2, 5 to 11. It says, then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers? Whose young woman is this? So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. This is Ruth now. Then Boaz said to Ruth, Boaz went to meet Ruth. You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes? That was Ruth asking Boaz, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner.
Mm.
And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me.
Reported. Somebody is watching.
All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. Listen, Ruth was not praying for Boaz.
Mm.
It's in the place of service that Ruth found Boaz.
True.
So while you go about praying, hey, Father, give me my Boaz. Give me my Ruth, my brother, my sister. It was in the place of diligent service that Ruth found her Boaz. It was the place of diligence too in Boaz's part that Boaz found Ruth. Because if Boaz, out of diligence, have not created a field, a Ruth would not have been gleaned on the field.
True.
So it was in place of service that both of them found themselves. It was in the place of service I found my husband, and my husband found me.
Mm.
So let me tell you something. You need to be faithful in serving. People are watching you. You are an usher, serve well. You are whatever you are, music minister, whatever, however or wherever you have chosen to be, function well. Don't wait until you see your pastor before you do. There's a thin line between eye service and service.
Yeah.
Just a thin line. Most people do eye service, they don't serve.
True.
Service, when you are serving, you don't need to see the person before you serve. When you do that, you're actually not serving. So Ruth was in a foreign land, she was a foreigner. Irrespective of where she was, irrespective that she was a stranger, regardless of the fact that she was a stranger, she was serving right there, diligently doing something for Naomi. That was when a Boaz found her. So how much of service are you giving? In that office, wherever you are, how much of service are you giving? God is looking at investors, kingdom investors. There are people who are investing through service, but when you are serving, you are investing something. People who contribute more are the people who make marriages work. He says the greatest amongst you will be your servant. So in other words, it takes two servants to make a great marriage.
Yeah.
The greatest of marriages are laid on the union of two servants. Husband, serve your spouse. Wife, serve your wife. Wife, serve your husband. Nobody is looking for who is the head or who is the leg. Both people are serving because there is a unity in front they need to guide.
Yeah.
Praise God.
So this point is very important. So it's not just for church, even for your organization or where you are working. Be careful of motivational speakers. Amen. Those people that wear suits, they are not doing anything. They used to, aspire to perspire. Amen. And they are not doing anything. They know how to come to church and look at you say, they'll sit by your side, ladies. Watch out for them. Those, you see this program. I were to be the organizer. I would have. The seat wouldn't have been. I'll put the seat there. You know. If I were to be the win-loss, I would have wore jeans. I call them motivational. They know how to motivate. They are not part of the team. They are not volunteers. They can find mistakes everywhere. They find it in their church. At a time, they now move from church to church. Yeah. They always have a problem with men of God. They can't serve. They can't stay in a place. They are authority, but yet they can't serve. Watch out for them.
I'm telling you.
Am I talking to somebody? Act of service is key.
Very key.
A man who can lay his life for God can lay his life for you.
True.
Telling you, watch out for this thing. So, watch out for it. A man that is dogged for God, he will be dogged for you. Don't be giving you an excuse that, you know, the problem, it's not his fault. So it's just that all the pastors he has met in Lorraine, they are not up to his level in thinking. Well done, professor of theology. Amen? Watch out. Men who go on Facebook and they are looking for a man of God to criticize. So, yeah. I saw one member those days. I'll finish preaching. You go to Facebook and be correcting me. You know, that's the generation we are in. You are perfect now. Is Adebo perfect? You say, no. Nobody's perfect. You are the only one that's perfect. Well done. You don't understand service. You don't understand it. It is the least of this kingdom that will be the greatest. I've never seen a man that God will drop oil in his head because he's a master of criticism in this kingdom. The more you criticize, check the people you keep criticizing, they are rising.
True.
You will keep you think you have fan base, soon you'll be having 2 likes.
That's true.
Nobody will be caring about you again because you are not giving the right spirit. People want to grow. People want to be. There's too much problem in Christianity. We need solution. Adepo is not your problem. Kumuyi is not your problem. They need solution. People need healing. Instead of you to be giving healing, you are correcting me in this town. I can only count one church. Even that church is managed for me to attend. Well done, Prof. So you must be careful. of such people. That is pride. It's pride. You are exalting yourself above every other thing. Let me tell you something. There's nobody that is perfect in this kingdom. We don't know it all.
True.
We all know in parts. And we understand in parts. That doesn't mean that God is not working with them. God still works with them. So, the part that you know, thank God for this wisdom that you know. Keep it to yourself and bless people. Don't look forward to fight down, pull down. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Then also, please, finally on this issue, out of service, be hardworking. Don't be lazy. When my wife was saying that I was so broke, don't go and be telling the guy, you see, Windows, the wife married him when he was broke. So, you have to marry me. No, I was doing something,
He was broke on something.
I was broke on something. You should be broke on something. The lady should see that you are doing something with your life. Don't be broke. You wake up in the morning, you call her, hey, please, my rent has expired. I'm not asking you. I just say I should tell you. What do you expect her to do? You must be broke on something. You must be... The lady may not see. My wife didn't see money in my pocket. When she met me, I was always... I can't afford going to the park to go and enter a vehicle.
Along.
Go and stay along. Along. She met me there. And I was proud of it. Going to along. I'm telling you, early in the morning, I wait for a newspaper company that is going from one state to the other so that I can jump on the truck to get to my destination. But you see, at that point, I was doing something.
Yeah.
In church, I was fervent. Let me tell you, I go to church on Sundays. Okay, my church is a tanker, right? I'll give you an example. My church is a tanker. And I stay at Agwaba. On Saturday like this, I will trek from Agwaba to Challenge. And sleep over in a member's place. Because my money is not enough for me to come to church direct. I will trek from Agwaba to Challenge, sleep in my member's place. Then in the morning, I wake up and I take bus to Tanke. That's what I was doing. There was no excuse. Why are you not saying, there's always an excuse. See, my house is far. This guy is that. They're like, no. Excuse is the tool of the incompetent. Monument of nothingness. Those that use it are not wise. You shouldn't have excuse in your dictionary why you are failing. There is no lady here that is looking for money. They are looking for faithful men. Mm-hmm. Men who are faithful. They wake up in the morning. They wake up to their call. I didn't wake up to idleness. I was doing a lot of things. When she met me, you must be serving.
Yeah.
Serve your purpose, serve your ministry. It's very important. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Diligence is very attractive. So don't be lazy. Laziness scares people. I'm telling you. When you're a lazy man, a lady can't even submit because you'll be like a liability. The same thing with a woman. For you guys always say, it's a man's responsibility, everything. You know, any man that cannot take care of me is worse than an infidel. My brother, my sister.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
What are you putting on the table?
Because even you, if you cannot bring something to the table, you too, you are unattractive. Let's say we get scared of you. If you're always demanding. And when you listen, you call the guy. See, send me airtime, every time. Airtime. Before you know, the guy won't have time for you. Yeah. So please, stop. Don't be. Assets don't demand. Liabilities demand.
Mm.
So if you want to be an asset, position yourself as one. Don't be demanding. Praise God. So it's very important that you serve. Servants are selfless. In marriage, it takes selflessness to build a successful marriage. Because when you begin to think of yourself, you are selfish. If people who truly serve don't think about themselves.
True.
So servants are selfless. Commitment does not require self. And it takes commitment to build a successful marriage. So it means that servants are committed.
Yeah.
They are committed to a cause. They are committed to a vision. They are committed to their marriage. The reason why you wake up, you see people, many people who divorce, not people that don't really love themselves.
Mm.
They're not willing to make it work. They don't want to work it out. So someone die daily to their flesh. Sometimes you don't feel like greeting your spouse because you got angry. But because it's not self that's controlling you, you see yourself doing the same thing that you have said, I will not do it. It got me angry. I will not do it. She got me angry. You see yourself doing it because why? You servants are interested in success. So even if their self have to die, so our success can stand, they will do it.
Yeah.
That's why even in church, in a community, in organization, they are not looking for who we pay them.
Yeah.
They don't need their names to be announced. Those are servants.
Yeah.
Those are characteristics of servants.
They're not looking for front
seats. They're not looking for front seats.
Or the accolades.
They are not looking for titles. Because sometimes some people serve because they want position.
Yeah.
They're looking for all of that. They are serving because why? They cannot stand it when something is not successful.
That's true.
They want to make sure that something is working. Those are the kind of people that you should look for when you want to get married.
But then you'll be complaining, they are using me, they are using me. How would they be using me, using me, using me? You go to this church, they are using me. You join this group, they are using me. Nobody can use me. Oh. Amen? How can you be useful if people don't use you? You can never be useful if you are not used.
It's true.
I'm a product of usury. There's an English like that.
They
use me and use me, use my destiny, use. Oh God, I was used. My wife met me when they were using me.
True.
I'm telling you, when my wife, they told my wife, they said, oh, this is a church rat. They use me.
True.
I was in media department, they used my life. 1 week, I'll be sleeping on the floor, editing video for church. They were using me. I didn't get up on the pay. So my friends, they got up, they left. I said, for what? They can't use me. Drama group like this, pastor say, bring drama. They'll be using my destiny. Use me, use me. Last year I was in, the story I was telling you, when I was in America, the white man came and said, I don't think you can handle this project. Where are your team? You know the way white people talk. Where are your team? Because when you want to shoot a full movie, you know you should have team abroad, right? You know you should have a producer. You should have like 50 team. He said, so how are you going to get the team to shoot this thing? This thing can't work. I said, sir, I am the team. He said, you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. I said, oh, God, you don't know where I came from. Now, me the team. He said, script writer. I'm talking of the video editor. I'm talking of the cinematographer. I'm talking of the gaffer. I'm talking of the lightsman. I'm talking of... I said, sir, me. I'm the team. Me that learned everything in church. It's only choir I did not join in church. Yeah, I was everywhere. I've done lights, done sound, done carry camera. Yeah, I saw opportunity. They did not use you. That's why you're not useful. That's why when you get to your destiny, it's only complaining. Pastor has to use me, so I refuse, and everything. Until they use you. You will never be useful.
True.
Let's end it there.
Amen.
Let's celebrate Jesus.
Amen.